Good morning. The Bible has a lot to say about spiritual gifts and how we should use those gifts. And Gary has taken us through a series of sermons about gifts. But what do we do when we're called to do something we're not gifted at? I think sometimes it's appropriate to decline something because you're not good at it. But I don't think you should every time. So this morning I want to talk about a little bit about doing what you're not good at. And I want to make clear, I'm not detracting from the importance of gifts. I believe those are very important. And I just want to try to bring a balancing viewpoint here. I want to look at a little bit at two men from the Old Testament, Moses and Gideon, and what we can learn from them. God came to Moses in a burning bush in Exodus chapters 3 and 4. Not going to take the time to read a lot of this. I'm going to jump around here in chapter 4 to look at Moses' different excuses. So I'll look at verse 1, 10, and 13. Verse 1, then Moses said, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" And then God gave him those miraculous signs, his staff turning into a snake, his hand becoming leprous and then becoming healed again instantly. Well, verse 10, Moses was still dragging his feet. Then Moses said to the Lord, "Please, Lord, I have never been eloquent, neither recently nor in time past, nor since you have spoken to your servant, for I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth, or who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now then, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say." But he said, "Please, Lord, now send the message by whomever you will." Verse 13 is a little hard to understand, but I think Moses is saying, please find someone else. I think that's what he's saying here. Well, and we can see a little bit, I think, from verse 14, what Moses' intention was in 13. It says, the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. So I think we can see by the Lord's response that he was still dragging his feet. So from a human perspective, it looks like Moses had good reasons to turn down this assignment. And remember that he had fled Egypt in disgrace. Pharaoh was trying to kill him. The Hebrews, he tried to stop that fight between two Hebrews, you know, and they reminded him what he did to the Egyptians. So it seems like he'd lost the Hebrews' respect also. So from a human's response, it looks like Moses had good reasons for turning down the job. But God's response was, you know, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you the words to speak. It's all about me. It's not about you." Okay, now let's take a look at Gideon. In chapter Judges 6, verses 12 to 16. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my father's house." But the Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." Now, to Gideon's credit, he did not drag his feet nearly as long as Moses did, but he still felt inadequate. And it's telling that the first, one of the first thoughts that came to Gideon's mind was, two things. My family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house. So his first response to God's call was his own inadequacies, his perceived inadequacies. And you know the rest of the story, how God kept whittling down his army, because God said, "I want you to be sure that I have given you this victory, and it's not done on your own power. And on the power of your army." Okay, now I want to talk a little about pride and humility. We know, the Bible contains many warnings against pride. And our culture, our plain culture, puts a big emphasis on humility. But humility is such a slippery thing, because when we make humility our goal, we can become proud of our humility. It sounds ironic, but it really is true. I'm sure you've met someone who is so full of themselves, they're just no fun to be around. But on the other hand, have you ever known someone with an extremely low self-esteem? I have known a few people like that. People who genuinely hate themselves. And then their self-loathing pushes other people away from them. They poison their own relationships because of their poor self-image. And when other people reject them because of that, it reinforces their poor self-image. Kind of sets up a vicious spiral. Well, as I was thinking about this a number of years ago, I realized that pride and self-loathing are not opposites. They're different manifestations of the same problem, and that is focusing on yourself. There's not this continuum with pride at one end, self-loathing at the other end, and proper godly humility right in the middle. That's not the way it works. Humility is completely different. I think true humility is focusing on God, not focusing on ourselves. So, bringing this back to Moses and Gideon. By their response to God, we can see they were focusing on themselves. They talked to God about their own inadequacies, their low status, their feeling of inferiority. But God was calling them to focus on Him and His power, and to focus on the mission that He had for them. Now, we're getting close to a new Sunday school year. And some of you will have the privilege of teaching a class next year. And some years, the superintendents have had to twist arms pretty hard to find people willing to teach. Maybe you're pretty sure that teaching is not your gift. Well, I can assure you that you are probably not the most qualified person in your class. Because if we always got the most qualified person, the same people would teach every year. And I think they need a break, so we're going to have to settle for you. So, this is a little pep talk for next Sunday school year. And the inadequacies you feel. 1 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. This is when Paul is talking about his thorn in the flesh. And I don't think I'm taking these verses out of context to apply them to this. And he said unto me, God said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, and persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." So it's when we feel inadequate that God's strength works through us. Even when we do feel qualified, we're still serving through God's strength, even if we may not realize. So let's keep our focus on God as we serve. Let's bow our heads for prayer. God, I thank you for the gifts that you have given us to serve you and to serve other people. Help us to use those gifts to serve you. And God, when we feel inadequate, just give us your strength. Help us to develop our gifts. And to serve focusing on you rather than on ourselves. And help us to keep our focus on you through the rest of this service. In Jesus' name, amen.